Okay, we're about to begin, so I'd ask you grab some last-minute refreshment and take your seats. My name is Bob Einhorn from the Center for Strategic and International Studies. I'm co-director with Michelle Flournoy of the CSIS Strengthening the Global Partnership Project. This is a consortium of 23 think tanks around the world, 18 different countries, devoted to supporting the G8 Global Partnership. The consortium and the CSIS project are supported by the Nuclear Threat Initiative. Laura Holgate here is representing NTI today and will be one of our speakers. We're now just about a year past the Bratislava summit meeting, where Presidents Bush and Putin agreed to strengthen and accelerate U.S.-Russian cooperation in the area of nuclear security. And we're just about 4 months away from the St. Petersburg G8 summit, where G8 leaders under the chairmanship of the Russian Federation will review progress in meeting the goals of the G8 Global Partnership against the spread of weapons of mass destruction, which was an initiative taken by the G8 leaders at their summit in Kananaskis, Canada, in 2002. Considerable progress has been made in implementing both of these initiatives. U.S.-supported security upgrades at Russian nuclear installations are continuing. In recent congressional testimony, Secretary of Energy Bodman indicated that upgrades at both Rosatom facilities as well as Ministry of Defense nuclear weapons storage sites will be completed by 2008. And Interfax reports, I don't know if it's accurate, but Interfax reports that Rosatom has received 30 billion rubles, or about $1 billion, from the Russian Federation budget for nuclear security programs. Again, if this is accurate, this would be a huge increase in Russian funds dedicated to these projects, which I think would indicate both that Russia has become financially capable of supporting these programs, and also an indication that Russia is sharing the U.S. conviction that addressing the threat of nuclear terrorism deserves the very highest priority. And the U.S. Global Threat Reduction Initiative, which is designed to remove potentially vulnerable, highly enriched uranium from civilian research reactor sites around the world, is now being pursued with a new and elevated sense of priority. And after a slow start, the G8 partners are now translating funding pledges to the Global Partnership into specific concrete projects, and especially in the two areas that Russia has given top priority, and that's chemical weapons destruction and dismantlement of decommissioned general-purpose nuclear submarines. But much clearly remains to be done. If Secretary Bodman's very ambitious nuclear security goals are to be realized, then efforts are going to have to be accelerated, and problems like access to sensitive facilities will have to be resolved. And areas of the Global Partnership that have so far been neglected, and I would list biosecurity as one of those, will have to receive increased attention. The next several months will be critical, and much is going to depend on Russia's leadership now that it has assumed the presidency of the G8 and will be hosting the St. Petersburg summit. Now, with us today to explore these issues are two very distinguished commentators, Colonel General Yevgeny Maslin and Laura Hoge. General Maslin is currently a member of the executive board of the Center for Policy Studies in Russia, the Peer Center. He's been a senior advisor at the Peer Center since 1999. And for over 40 years, he served with the Soviet and then Russian defense ministries. From 1992 to 1997, he was chief of the 12th Defense Ministry Main Directorate. Laura Hoge is well known, I'm sure, to all of you. She's vice president for Russia and New Independent States programs at the Nuclear Threat Initiative. Before joining NTI, she served in a number of senior U.S. government positions. She managed the CTR program at the Department of Defense and was the director of the Office of Fissile Materials Disposition at the U.S. Department of Energy. Before turning the floor over to our speakers, I'd like to draw your attention to a recent publication. It's this one. It's the English language version of the Global Partnership Guide. It was produced by the Peer Center, which is one of CSIS's two Moscow-based partners in the Strengthening the Global Partnership project. It really is a comprehensive guide to the history of the G8 Global Partnership, how it's been implemented since 2002. It looks at Russian priorities and Russian perspectives in particular. So I urge you to pick up a copy of this guide on your way out. With that as introduction, let me call on General Maslin.
Уважаемый господин председатель, уважаемые дамы и господа.
Dear Mr. Chairperson, dear ladies and gentlemen.
Я хотел бы поблагодарить организаторов сегодняшнего мероприятия за любезное приглашение участвовать в презентации справочника по глобальному партнерству на английском языке.
I would like to thank everybody who put together this presentation and who invited me to participate in the discussion of the publishing of the Global Partnership Guide in English language.
И поделиться своим видением одной из наиболее актуальных проблем современной международной безопасности, рассмотрению которой посвящено это издание справочника.
And I'd like to spend time on the problem of the international security, which this guide, large part of this guide is devoted to.
На мой взгляд, символично, что наше сегодняшнее мероприятие проходит 1 марта. Это начало весны, хорошая солнечная погода. Надеюсь, также успешным будет и продолжение глобального партнерства.
I think that it's pretty symbolic that our meeting today is taking place on March the 1st. It's the beginning of spring, and it's a wonderful sunny day, and I think that means that our global partnership program will succeed, will be successful, will be as sunny as this day.
Программа глобального партнерства, являющаяся одним из магистральных направлений сотрудничества России с ведущими развитыми странами мира, отражает одну простую истину.
The Global Partnership Program, which is the main highway of our communication and cooperation with other developed countries, reflects one main goal or issue.
В нынешнюю эпоху, когда проблемы, стоящие перед отдельными странами в различных областях жизнедеятельности, приобретают глобальный характер, ни одно государство не способно справиться с ними в одиночку.
Today, when the problems, there are many serious problems exist in the world, and they are so serious that none, a single country, by itself is not able to cope with these problems. We have to work on them together.
В полной мере это относится к сфере безопасности во всех ее аспектах, включая энергетическую безопасность, борьбу с распространением оружия массового уничтожения и международным терроризмом.
Here I would like to stress several main problems, including security, energy security around the world, international terrorism and WMD and its non-proliferation.
Осознание этого факта и привело к созданию программы глобального партнерства.
And because we all understand the importance of those problems and dealing with them, we came to a conclusion of the necessity of creating the global partnership.
Вместе с тем хотел бы отметить, что эта программа появилась не на пустом месте, и у нее есть предыстория, в первую очередь связанная с осуществлением российско-американского сотрудничества по программе совместного уменьшения угрозы.
I'd like to tell you that this program, this project, wasn't born on an empty place. It had a history that led to it. And I'd like to tell you about this history. It's the partnership that existed before in the framework of the Corporate Threat Reduction Program.
Эта программа возникла по инициативе сенаторов Нана и Лугара в начале 90-х годов.
This program appeared on the initiative of Senators Nunn and Lugar at the beginning of the 90s.
Я неоднократно говорил и еще раз повторю, что России в то время довелось столкнуться с совершенно новой, нестандартной ситуацией в плане обеспечения контроля за ядерным оружием.
I said many times, and I'd like to stress that again, that at that time, Russia found itself in a very unusual situation regarding control of its nuclear weapons.
Могли ли мы тогда решить эту проблему своими силами?
Were we able to solve this issue by ourselves?
Вероятно, смогли бы. Однако это потребовало крайнего напряжения усилий и, как можно предположить, в условиях тяжелого финансово-экономического положения России процесс повышения безопасности не был бы таким быстрым, как того настойчиво требовала обстановка.
Most likely, as I said before, we would be able to do it ourselves. But in the situation as then, when Russia was in a very difficult economical and financial situation, it would probably be very difficult and it would have taken much longer.
В период старта программы совместного уменьшения угрозы мои партнеры в Соединенных Штатах Америки, такие как Эш Картер, Харольд Смит, генерал Роланд Ладжой, приложили колоссальные усилия, чтобы обеспечить успех программы.
And at that time, when we started the CTR program, my partners, my colleagues, Mr. Carter, Mr. Harold Smith, General LaJoy, they did enormous job for this program to succeed.
В дальнейшем их преемники продолжили их усилия, и я хотел бы поблагодарить нынешнего начальника Дитере, адмирала Бёрда, за их практический вклад в обеспечение безопасности наших государств через реализацию программы совместного уменьшения угрозы.
And their followers followed in their steps and continued to contribute to the success of the program. And I'd like to thank DTRA and Admiral Byrd personally for their huge input to the program, to the CTRA program and to its success.
Мне также приятно, что сегодня мы продолжаем сотрудничество с Лорой Холгейт.
Also, I'd like to thank Laura Holgate for her continuous cooperation with us.
Я уже не знаю, наверное, лет 10. Скоро будет 10 лет, как мы знакомы.
I think it will be 10 years soon since we've known each other.
С которой мы вместе подписывали соглашение.
We signed the agreement.
А теперь
together,
совместно способствуем его реализации.
And now we're trying to make it possible.
Благодаря сотрудничеству России и Соединенных Штатов Америки по программе совместного уменьшения угрозы стало возможным вывести международные усилия по предотвращению распространения оружия массового уничтожения на новый уровень.
Thanks to the CTR program, we were able to bring to new steps the non-proliferation of weapons of mass destruction.
Сотрудничество между нашими странами продолжает динамично развиваться, чему свидетельствуют результаты саммита в Братиславе, после которого реализация совместных проектов, особенно в сфере физической защиты ядерных объектов и всех ядерных материалов, значительно ускорилась.
We can see the result of our cooperation especially clearly after the Bratislava summit. And here I'd like to stress the results in regard to physical security of our nuclear facility and security of nuclear materials.
Однако уже сейчас можно по праву говорить о том, что программы по совместному уменьшению угрозы приобрели поистине глобальный характер, став неотъемлемым компонентом более широкого сотрудничества России и ведущих индустриальных стран в формате Большой Восьмерки.
And I'd like to say that the CTR programs, they brought us to the global scale, where we're not only partnership between the United States and Russia, but Russia became partner with many large industrial countries and became a participant in G8.
Как говорил Роберт Энхорн, в 2002 году появилась программа глобального партнерства, которая выросла из двухстороннего сотрудничества России и США, и в которой сегодня участвуют, помимо стран Большой Восьмерки, еще 14 государств.
As Mr. Hawthorne? Einhorn, thank you. Said in the partnership, global partnership that started in 2002 brought to appearance or brought cooperation between which started as the cooperation between the United States and Russia brought many other countries together, including four G8 countries plus 14 other countries.
Важно, что успех сотрудничества России и Соединенных Штатов позитивно повлияло на подключение других стран к программам глобального партнерства.
It's very important that the success stories of the partnership between Russia and the United States brought into this global partnership many other countries.
В качестве примера я могу назвать Федеративную Республику Германию, которая теперь активно сотрудничает с Россией в области ядерной безопасности.
As an example, I can mention Federal Republic of Germany, which is actively cooperates or works with us in the sphere of nuclear security.
В настоящее время мне приходится практически заниматься вопросами модернизации средств физической защиты на ядерных объектах России.
Personally, now I have to spend lots of my time working on upgrades of nuclear facilities in Russia.
И могу сказать, что проекты, которые ведутся с Германией, развиваются довольно успешно.
And I'd like to say that the projects that we're working on with Germany are very successful.
На сегодняшний день программа глобального партнерства превратилась из громкой политической декларации в работающий механизм.
Today the Global Partnership Program from the loud political declaration became a real working mechanism, working program.
В которой вовлечены не только главы государств, но и десятки отдельных компаний, занимающихся реализацией конкретных проектов сотрудничества.
In this program, not only heads of different countries participate, but other companies from different countries as well.
И мне сейчас приходится практически работать с этими частными компаниями со стороны частного бизнеса.
Very often nowadays in my work I have to work with those private companies.
Я хотел бы отметить особую актуальность такого издания, как справочник по глобальному партнерству, который в краткой и доступной форме представляет весь спектр вопросов, связанных с программой глобального партнерства.
I'd like to stress the importance of the guide again, Global Partnership Guide again, because it has the most important issues covered in it when dealing with global partnership.
Он четко и наглядно объясняет подчас запутанный механизм реализации программы.
It explains very thoroughly and very one can understand the various difficult aspects of the program.
Для практиков очень важно иметь под рукой такой справочник, который, с одной стороны, давал бы общую картину по программе глобального партнерства и в то же время достаточно детально и подробно освещал отдельные аспекты программы.
It's very important for the person who works with this program. It's very important to have this guide, which from one side has the general picture of global partnership, but from another side it goes into great degree of details on various aspects of the program.
Он содержит всю необходимую информацию по двустороннему формату сотрудничества с каждой из стран, участвующих в программе глобального партнерства.
It has a great degree of information on bilateral cooperation with each separate country that we work in this partnership.
Не умаляя практической значимости данного издания, также хотелось бы подчеркнуть его важность с аналитической точки зрения.
Without diminishing the practical importance of this guide, I'd like to stress its analytical importance.
Информация, проанализированная и обобщенная в рамках справочника, может служить хорошей базой при выработке моделей для решения проблем безопасности в ряде других регионов мира.
In viewing the information that was so analytically and thoroughly prepared, it's possible to use it to create security models in other countries.
Именно там, где вопросы нераспространения оружия массового уничтожения и ядерной безопасности находятся на переднем плане.
In those regions and in those countries where WMD, non-proliferation and nuclear security is of utmost importance.
Справочник по глобальному партнерству на английском языке вышел как никогда своевременно в год председательства России в Большой Восьмерке.
I also would like to stress that the guide was published very timely when Russia received presidency in the G8 summit in St. Petersburg.
В то время как многие страны, участницы глобального партнерства, например, Канада и Великобритания, завершают календарный год выпуском отчетов о реализации своих программ сотрудничества, Россия открывает свой год председательства Большой Восьмерки выпуском справочника по глобальному партнерству.
Other countries who participate in this partnership, such as Canada and Great Britain, they finish their year with publishing reports, and Russia opens its new year when it became when it will preside over G8 summit with the publication of this guide.
Говоря о выработке конкретных рекомендаций для лидеров восьмерки, я также хотел бы отметить, что такая цель стоит перед участниками международной конференции по Большой Восьмерке и современным вызовам безопасности, который будет проводиться в Москве Пир-центром в апреле этого года.
In Moscow in April of this year there will be a conference, and I think that would be very important for leaders of G8 countries from the point of view of receiving necessary information on security issues.
Я уверен, что эта конференция будет иметь большой успех, так как она, как и многие начинания Пир-центра, включая данный справочник, имеет нацеленность на конкретный практический результат, что с моей точки зрения, так как я практик в основном, а не теоретик, имеет определяющее значение.
I think that this peer center conference will be very important because it will it's possible by attending this conference to attain practical results. And myself, I like practice much more than theory, so I think that would be very useful.
Наконец, хотел бы отметить, что программа глобального партнерства в последнее время демонстрирует важную тенденцию – переход сотрудничества от донорства к настоящему партнерству.
And I think that also global partnership is becoming very important in its phase that we see conversion from donors program to more equal cooperation sharing program.
Как сказал сенатор Нан, выступая в Москве не так давно на мероприятии Пир-центра, учитывая те темпы, с которыми растет бюджетный и торговый дефицит в Соединенных Штатах, и те темпы, с которыми растет бюджетный и торговый профицит в России, можно сказать, что слово «взаимность» скоро будет иметь большее значение для Соединенных Штатов, и скоро программа Нана Лугара будет идти из России в Америку.
When Senator Nan spoke in Moscow at the presentation of Peer Center recently, he said that considering that the budget and trade deficit in the United States keeps increasing and Russian profit in trade and budget and trade keeps profit increases, we can say that mutually will become a really good word pretty soon and funds will be flowing from Russia now to the United States.
Но независимо от того, куда будет идти финансовая помощь, наши страны просто обязаны оставаться лидерами в области ядерной безопасности.
And I think that no matter which way those funds will be traveling, I think that it's of utmost importance that our countries keep staying as keep functioning as leaders of the nuclear security.
При этом мы должны переходить, наверное, к новому этапу нашего взаимодействия. В первую очередь, чтобы быть настоящими партнерами, проявляя общую взаимность.
I think we also need to move to the new stage of this partners of and becoming real partners and to demonstrate real mutual goals, взаимность, mutuality. This word doesn't exist in English. Okay.
И я уверен, что сегодняшнее мероприятие будет, несомненно, содействовать еще большему партнерству между нашими странами, прозрачности и развитию духа партнерства в решении наиболее актуальных проблем международной безопасности.
And I think this event today will help us to move forward with our common goals, achieving transparency, achieving real and working on strengthening our partnership towards the international security.
Благодарю за внимание.
Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, General Maslin. Laura, you've got the floor.
Thanks to...
I'd like to thank CSIS and Bob Einhorn for organizing and hosting this important event and to second the enthusiasm of Bob and General Maslin for this guidebook that this press conference highlights. It really is an element of practice that we can all take to heart and I think will help improve the implementation of the Global Partnership mission. It's a wonderful reunion of a sort to be with General Maslin on a podium. Usually it's been in Moscow when we've been together, but it's wonderful to be with him here. And I hope you all realize that his responsibilities and roles in the mid-90s, the early 90s of the Nunn-Lugar program give him a real stature of hero in this work that we share together. And I'm really pleased he's been able to be here this morning and share his thoughts with us. Of course, I don't disagree with a word. And it makes me nostalgic for the kind of shared vision that we did have, I think, in U.S.-Russian cooperation in the early 90s, and that I hope we can get back to. And because I believe, as he hinted in his comments, that U.S. and Russia are the indispensable partners in addressing the world's greatest threats and the world's greatest opportunities. And our responsibility is not only to work together to deal with issues that we each have in our own nations, but also to work together to help address challenges in the world around us and to engage others to that mission. And as Russia takes the chair of the G8, this is a right moment to consider ways to move the global partnership towards its original global vision. This is a perfect opportunity for us to demonstrate how Russia and the U.S. working together can bring other global partners to cooperate to reduce weapons of mass destruction threats wherever they may be found. One critical area where such broad cooperation is necessary is in reducing dangers associated with civilian use of highly enriched uranium. To understand why this is such a critical area of cooperation, we need to consider a few realities. First of all, terrorist groups are in fact seeking mass destruction capabilities. Osama bin Laden has called the pursuit of nuclear weapons a religious duty. Secondly, a Hiroshima-scale bomb can be created by terrorists without prior bomb-making knowledge or experience. Gun-type designs are available in open sources, and 40 to 60 kilograms of highly enriched uranium is enough for a crude device. Thirdly, the largest obstacle to nuclear terrorists is access to nuclear materials. And in this respect, it's horrifying to consider that over 100 civilian facilities in 40 nations have enough highly enriched uranium on site to make one or more bombs, many of these without adequate security. We know that a shielded device on a truck or a boat is highly unlikely to be detected by today's radiation detection technology. And we need to keep in mind that an attack anywhere will have massive impacts globally, not only the horrifying instance of the attack itself, but on the economic, political, and cultural realities that the world swims in. This is why NTI and others have argued that removing and eliminating vulnerable HEU is one of the best ways to reduce nuclear terrorist threats. We have applauded and in some cases participated in the fresh fuel removals in Serbia, Czech Republic, Latvia, Romania, and other participants in the Department of Energy's Global Threat Reduction Initiative. The U.S. and Russia, working with the IAEA, have developed a very practical cooperative approach that can be applied in many other instances of vulnerable material. The recent successful shipment of irradiated highly enriched uranium fuel from Uzbekistan marked another milestone in this cooperation and points out that, unlike spent fuel from normal power reactors, fuel that has been used in research reactors can still be useful from a terrorist perspective because it retains most of its enrichment and it's not very radioactive. I congratulate Russia on this groundbreaking shipment and urge that its lessons be applied to spent fuel removals elsewhere. Despite this progress, we're still not moving at a pace required by the threat. If only 3 or 4 stocks of HEU are removed each year, it will take decades to complete this task. Several additional steps will be necessary to truly eliminate the threats posed by HEU at civilian facilities. I would suggest that 7 activities we need to work on more diligently. First of all, we need to begin with creating a global norm that delegitimizes civilian HEU possession and use. We need to conduct a global inventory and threat assessment, which, amazingly enough, does not exist in any holdings of information around the world. We need to accelerate conversion of research reactor and other activities to use low-enriched uranium, non-bomb-usable material. We need to consider the creation of regional research reactor centers of excellence to work on reducing the total number of research reactors while still giving access to the important civilian research, isotope production, and reactor training capabilities that research reactors offer. We need to address all civil HEU, not just those in research reactors. There's material that simply sits in research institutes. There's icebreakers that continue to operate on highly enriched uranium and other surprising locations and stocks of this material. We need programs that get at all of them. We need to diversify the material destinations. Currently, the assumption is that material goes back to the place it came from, and 90% of the time, that's likely to be the right answer. But there are some instances where material cannot go back to its place of origin, and other countries with capabilities to manage this material can contribute to reducing those threats. Finally, we need to expand the funding sources, and this is where the global partnership can really become useful as well. As the nation with the largest number of civilian research reactors, Russia has a special role to play in showing global leadership in this area of minimizing civil use of HEU. Little progress to date has been visible in terms of shrinking the HEU needs of Russia research facilities, but accelerating... I'm sorry. Highly enriched uranium.
Highly enriched uranium, okay.
That's a constant problem with me and interpreters. I apologize. Yes. Accelerating the development of appropriate low-enriched uranium fuel and ensuring near-term security for all such facilities would be important first steps that Russia can begin now. Reducing and eliminating threats from civil use of highly enriched uranium is achievable, as current successes show us. If we were to suffer some kind of terrorist attack with nuclear devices, however, we would wish we had moved much faster to secure and remove these dangerous materials. Now is the time to speed up this process before we learn the lesson the hard way. I'd like to close by congratulating the Pierce Center again on this most recent pragmatic contribution to the effectiveness of the G8 Global Partnership. NTI is very proud of its association with the Pierce Center and through the CSIS Strengthening the Global Partnership project in which it contributes so effectively. And we look forward to working closely to reduce WMD threats around the world. Thank you.
Laura, thank you very much. I'm going to start off the questioning by posing two questions, primarily to General Maslin. The first is to ask whether access by Americans to certain Russian nuclear installations remains a problem, in his view. What can we do to reduce this problem as much as possible? And the second question has to do with a number of references you made, General, to the need to move from a donor-client relationship to a relationship of true partnership. Do you have a few specific examples to provide on how to move this into a genuine partnership?
Thank you. Ответ на первый вопрос. Я думаю, что сейчас особых проблем с доступом на объекты российские не существует. Существуют правительственные соглашения, которые четко определяют порядок этого доступа.
I don't think that there are any serious issues regarding access to facilities. I think there are signed agreements between the governments of the both countries which allow the access.
Если это касается ядерно опасных объектов, там, где модернизируются средствами физической защиты, то таких доступов три.
If we're speaking about nuclear facilities with physical protection upgrades, then I can speak about three. There are three accesses that exist.
В начале проекта, в середине
проекта, и в конце. Or clearance. Is it clearance or access? Доступ, вы имеете...
Доступ, да.
Access of Americans to
access.
Russian
okay.
facilities.
Mm-hmm. Извините, повторите, пожалуйста, что вы стали говорить сейчас. Три таких доступа.
Три доступа в начале проекта.
In the one is in the beginning.
Когда сделано или осуществлено 50% модернизации.
When 50% of upgrade has been achieved.
И по окончании.
And at the very end.
Да, это уже существует довольно продолжительное время, но, по крайней мере, года два это однозначно.
This has been existence for a pretty long period of time, at least for 2 years, definitely.
А в отношении второго вопроса, ну, во-первых, это не я сказал, а сказал Сэм Нан, который обладает большим чувством юмора.
Speaking about your second question, first of all, it wasn't me who said that, but it was Sam Nunn, and he has a huge degree of sense of humor.
Но я в свое время предлагал даже вот такие варианты, когда наши специалисты помогают Соединенным Штатам разделывать атомные подводные лодки, которые закончили или у которых истек гарантийный срок.
Speaking from my point of view, I can make a suggestion when, for example, our specialists would be helping the United States specialists to dismantle nuclear submarines that were put out of service.
Во-первых, у нас хорошие специалисты, а во-вторых, это было бы значительно дешевле.
I think that, first of all, we have great professionals, and second of all, I think that would be less costly.
Okay, why don't we open it up? Who would like to pose a question, make a comment?
Кто еще хотел бы задать вопрос, сделать, может, комментарий?
Yes, please.
Good morning, I represent
Добрый день. Я представляю Тартас. У меня вопрос. Сколько обещаний уже сделано представителями стран этих? Этой программы и сколько денег было получено и сколько было потрачено программы. Есть ли у вас специфическая информация? Потому что в 2004 году вы предоставили эту информацию, и было бы очень интересно проследить прогресс программы. Спасибо.
Это вопрос. Кому?
Who is this question for?
Well, you know, the Global Partnership in 2002, they pledged to raise up to $20 billion over 10 years, with the U.S. contributing half and the other G8 members the other half. I believe we're still at a range of somewhat over $17 billion, excluding Russia's own contributions. Now, actually devoting funds to specific projects is way behind the pledges, and only a small fraction of the $17 billion has been allocated to specific projects. I don't have the exact numbers at my fingertips, but we have that information, and we can get it to you later.
Richard Weiss? Yes. Институт. Проблемы, о которых говорил Баб в отношении проектов и фондов, что вы чувствуете в отношении глобального партнерства за пределами бывшем Советском Союзе? Вы понятен вопрос или не очень?
Вопрос не ко мне, но...
Was this question to General Muslim?
Yes.
And that was...
Кто
угодно может ответить на этот вопрос.
Наверное, как проекты идут на Украине, Белоруссии, Казахстане, это не ко мне.
I think you're speaking about Ukraine, Kazakhstan, Belarus, then it's not to me. And also outside of the former Soviet Union.
I mean, the Global Partnership, when it was founded in 2002, it specifically said these programs would be initially in Russia. It was anticipated that the partnership would expand beyond Russia as the sole recipient of funds, and some now Ukraine is officially designated as a member and a potential recipient of global partnership funds. But the U.S. in particular has been pursuing the idea of expanding this partnership to make it truly global. And there have been some U.S. programs in Iraq, in Libya, as well as elsewhere in the former Soviet Union. And so I think the question was whether Russia had some difficulty with kind of spreading the wealth to additional recipients. Vladimir?
Yes, I have a question to General Maslin.
Вопрос генералу Маслину.
Told that the people from DTRA,
сказали, что работники DTRA и Министерства обороны сказали, что вся модернизация при Министерстве обороны ядерных объектов будут закончены в 2008 году. Считаете ли вы, что эта цифра реалистична? Что можно действительно закончить работу к этому году, особенно в вашей сфере ответственности, я имею в виду 12-е ГУМО. Вы можете закончить до 2008 года?
Хороший вопрос.
It's a great question.
Это зависит от многих факторов.
It depends on many factors.
Но если обе стороны будут очень интенсивно идти навстречу друг другу, то к концу 2008 года, наверное, это возможно.
If both sides are mutually responsive to each other's needs and meeting each other's goals and interests, then I think that it would be possible by 2008.
Хотя достаточно сложно.
Though I have to say that it's not very easy.
Fritz? And let me ask you, this is Fritz Hermott, but please introduce yourself and tell us your affiliation.
Fritz Hermott, I'm a retired intelligence officer and very both speakers used the term weapons of mass destruction and nuclear interchangeably.
Ядерной безопасности как бы взаимозаменяемы. Лорен сказал нет, он как-то так прозвучало, по крайней мере.
Угроза,
потому что с какой точки зрения существует с точки транспортировки или производства. В справочнике есть два абзаца заключения биологической безопасности. Одна говорит, что Россия сейчас не хочет вообще это обсуждать, например, в программах. Другой говорит, что это очень важно сейчас. 4 года назад
President Putin and Bush signed a memorandum of understanding, some sort of agreement, mandating extensive cooperation in combating
biowarfare
threats. Subsequently, as I understand it, there was substantial cooperation on the civilian side
between the two countries,
but not on the military.
Не с моей точки зрения, а с гражданской. А теперь кажется, что все вообще как-то ушло с повестки. Что же произошло?
Лора, вы большой специалист по биологии.
I figured you would take the comfortable way out on this question. First of all, I want to clarify my reference to the use of term weapons of mass destruction was meant to echo that as the topic of the G8 Global Partnership. Obviously, there are massive distinctions that must be made among nuclear, biological, chemical weapons, what threats they pose, how you resolve those threats, and I'm the first one to agree to that. So don't misunderstand my shorthand as a conflation of the threats or their solutions. I share your dismay that the Crawford pledge was not activated. We can probably have a long conversation about why that might have been. I think you did mention that there has been since 98 civilian interaction on biological facilities in Russia that had been part of the civilian system, and that continues. Its source of funding has moved around from defense to state to energy and back again, so it's hard to keep a sort of a constant comparable track of how of that level of effort. NTI itself has a number of programs in Russia that aim in part at this biosecurity challenge. To me, the real challenge is how best to take advantage of Russia's stated interest in making the fight against infectious disease a real priority in its G8 mission, but it's nervousness about addressing such issues within the context of the global partnership, which implies that Russia's biological capabilities constitute in and of themselves a threat. So it's a needle-threading exercise, but I think there is enough that is worth doing in the public health environment around infectious disease monitoring and tracking, around vaccination production, around development of prophylaxis and treatment of biological agents that does not get very, very close to the sensitive discussions around BWC compliance and lack thereof, that there's a lot in the agenda that can be done that will improve the future without having to go into detail about the past. And I would encourage both countries to make that a real hallmark of the G8 initiative and this coming summit.
Yes, please.
Melissa Mann with UX Consulting. In recent days and weeks, we've seen a lot of announcements coming out of Russia about changes on the commercial side, different investments in uranium mining, setting up international uranium enrichment and reprocessing centers, new reactor builds. Вы видите переработку, вы видите, что сейчас программы такие, они как бы фокус переносится на эти программы от глобального партнерства. Понятен вопрос?
This question is to...
Хотелось бы и от генерала Маслина услышать ответ, и от Лоры.
Значит, я единственный себя считаю специалистом в плане военного ядерного оружия, которым я занимался, как уже говорили здесь, и Боб говорил об этом, где-то на протяжении почти 40 лет. Вот то, что касается делящихся материалов, биологического оружия, химического оружия, как оружие массового уничтожения, там я не считаю себя специалистом.
As it was said previously several times, I am a professional, and as it was said before, I was a professional for 40 years. I've been a professional for 40 years in the military-grade nuclear weapon. I worked with nuclear weapon all my life, all my career. And when we speak about fissile materials or biological and chemical threats, this is just not my specialization. I'm not...
То, что касается контроля за делящимися материалами, акценты программ, я считаю, это одно из важнейших направлений глобального партнерства, которое предотвращает распространение именно ядерной составляющей оружия массового уничтожения.
When we're speaking about fissile materials control, then I think that this is the main concentration of the global partnership, because it would deal with non-proliferation of those materials under its framework.
Если в период холодной войны я был одним из самых активных распространителей ядерного оружия, то сейчас я такой же яростный сторонник, чтобы оно не распространялось по свету.
And if I can say that during the Cold War era, I was one of the I was supporting nuclear proliferation. Then now I'm among those who support nuclear non-proliferation on a large scale.
Особенно в нынешней обстановке, когда угроза международного терроризма стали настолько отчетливыми. Вот представьте на мгновение, если ядерное оружие, а оно начинается с делящихся материалов, попадет в руки экстремистов.
And especially now when terrorist threats are so evident, imagine for a second if fissile materials, and they're at the beginning of nuclear weapons, will end up in the hands of terrorists. It's either the wrong translation or people understood that you supported nuclear proliferation before.
Я объясню, когда значит, была холодная война, то две противодействующие страны накапливали большие количества оружия, как одна, так и другая.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to say that during the Cold War both countries piled up stacks of nuclear weapons, as both countries.
И это ядерное оружие, оно находилось в различных странах, как социалистического, так и противоположного лагеря.
And these stacks were located in both
двух различных, вы что сказали, странах?
Да. Социалистический лагерь был такой.
Как же по-английски это называется? Лагерь. Camps, you call them camps. In both, thank you. In both camps. Camp is a little. In social camp countries and in the other one.
К сожалению, если уж мы начали говорить на эту тему, Россия все ядерные боеприпасы, которые были и в странах Восточной Европы, и в государствах Советского Союза, сейчас все ядерные боеприпасы находятся на территории России.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the nuclear arsenals that were spread all around, they were in the Eastern European countries and in the countries of the former Soviet Union. Now they all are located in Russia.
К сожалению, Соединенные Штаты продолжают держать свои ядерные боеприпасы в странах Западной Европы.
К сожалению, вы сказали?
К сожалению.
And unfortunately, the United States keeps its nuclear arsenals in the countries of the Western Europe.
Что, на мой взгляд, представляет дополнительную опасность со стороны воздействия на эти склады ядерных боеприпасов со стороны террористов.
And I think that's the another threat of the access by terrorists to those storage facilities.
Я именно в этом плане имел в виду распространение ядерного оружия, когда это оружие находится в различных странах.
That's what exactly I meant when I said proliferation of nuclear weapons, when these weapons are located in different countries.
I do think that there, in response to the question of potential crowding out of the agenda by nuclear power initiatives that are coming to the forefront in both countries, I actually see it the opposite way. I think for too long the U.S.-Russian agenda has been overly dominated by security issues, that we haven't developed enough of a multi-channel relationship with close ties in technology, education, culture, economics, and so on, and that the kind of coincidental or maybe not so coincidental arrival in both nations of a new and strong vision of the future of nuclear power, not only in each country but globally, gives us a wonderful platform to cooperate on that is completely consistent with the mission of the Global Partnership. If nuclear power is not pursued in a way that is safe and secure, then it will not work. That source that resource will not be available to the world. And so U.S. and Russia, working with its other partners in the Global Partnership, have every responsibility to maintain security, and that's a baseline for expanding nuclear power. The other thing I believe is that, and this is something that came out of a very good piece of work that was done between the U.S. and Russian Academies of Science on reducing obstacles to U.S.-Russian nuclear nonproliferation cooperation. One of the recommendations was to enhance cooperation on nuclear energy. And that I think the more that we can have areas where the two countries cooperate on a peer level, where there isn't this overhang of assistance, the better that can create the environment for those remaining areas of the relationship where assistance may still need to be the way the countries interact. So I'm a big fan of bringing these two initiatives as closely together as possible and building on the relationships in each to advance both. I think that's critical. I think the U.S. would benefit that from that. I think the Russians would benefit from that. And I think it's an important component not only of our non-proliferation progress, but of our joint relationship on a broader scale.
Thank you. Did you? Yeah.
Thank you. So, General Madison, could you please elaborate on the comment that there might be funds coming out of the Russian Federation?
По-моему, я уже объяснил, что это предложение сенатора Нана, а не мои личные.
I thought that I already said that it was the offer made by Senator Nunn and suggestion, but not from me personally.
Yes. Jocelyn Zablett, AFP News Agency. I'd like to hear your thoughts, if possible, on the current crisis with Iran concerning its nuclear program and where you think this issue is headed, apart from Security Council and...
Whose thoughts you want to hear on that?
Yeah,
I mean, this wasn't really the focus of this meeting. I'll give you my own thoughts for what they're worth. I think we are approaching a very difficult phase in this nuclear crisis with Iran. It could be a matter of months, 3 months, 12 months, before Iran masters a key technology, and that's the ability to put together a small cascade, about 164 centrifuges, get that cascade to work efficiently. Once they can master that, they can scale it up, they can replicate it clandestinely and so forth. And that's what they're trying to do as quickly as possible. What's important now, I think, is for the Europeans, for Russia, the U.S., China, Japan, other countries to work together to demonstrate to Iran that the world is opposed to their achieving this enrichment capability, and that if they continue moving down that path, then they will pay an increasingly high price. And I think that's what effort is underway now. There'll be a meeting March 6 and 7, Monday and Tuesday, in Vienna, at which the Director General of the IAEA will report that he's still not getting the cooperation he needs from Iran. The issue will move to the Security Council, and hopefully Russia, U.S., Europeans, all these countries will stand together to confront Iran with the prospect of some serious penalties if it continues to insist on having this capability. Yes.
Pat Harahan, Defense Threat Reduction Agency. I had a question for General Maslin and for Ms. Holgate about the translation of policy and pledges in the G8 to programs and projects. Does each nation define its own project, or is there any attention paid to sort of a general experience about what has happened in the past over the last 12 years in terms of how programs are defined, how access is defined, how transparency is defined, how payment is defined, how end state is defined, and so on? I mean, is there a sense among the G8 that there's a need for sort of a template that these programs can be defined through?
Я пару слов. Я хотел бы на предыдущий вопрос изложить свое видение иранской проблемы.
First of all, I'd like to state my vision of the previous question, of the previous problem regarding Iran.
Ну, во-первых, как всем известно, Россия абсолютно, как и другие страны, не хочет, чтобы Иран создал собственное ядерное оружие.
First of all, I'd like to say that Russia, as many other countries, does not want Iran to create its own nuclear weapon.
И недавний визит возглавляющего сейчас в настоящее время российское атомное агентство господина Кириенко в Иран говорит о том, что переговоры о создании совместного предприятия по обогащению урана на территории России – оно близко к завершению. По крайней мере, так это излагает пресса.
Он против этого. Кириенко был против того, что
Нет.
изложила пресса.
Нет,
он был в Иране, так.
Там достигли почти договоренности о создании совместного предприятия по обогащению
на территории России. Окей.
Да.
Recently, I'd like to say that new head of the Rosatom, Mr. Kiryenko, who went to Iran recently, and there was an agreement reached on the enrichment of,
in principle, on
enrichment of uranium in Russia.
Joint venture
on enrichment of uranium. Russia. Thank you. I just don't want to confuse anything because this is important. Okay. Спасибо.
В то же время Россия будет быстро выполнять свои обязательства по строительству атомной станции в Бушере.
Also, Russia will be following on its pledges on building construction the nuclear power station in Bushehr.
То есть здесь надо четко разделять. Это мое понимание. Россия за то, чтобы мирная атомная энергетика развивалась.
So we have to distinguish, to draw this line. Russia is for peaceful use of nuclear energy.
И в то же время Россия категорически против того, чтобы Иран создавал собственное ядерное оружие.
But Russia is against Iran creating its own nuclear weapon.
И с этой точки зрения я еще раз повторяю, предложение о совместном предприятии по обогащению урана на территории России является одним из таких моментов, который позволяет выполнять вот эти обязательства.
But from this point of view, I'd like to say that the creation of that joint venture for enrichment of uranium will allow to fulfill those pledges.
Теперь по второму вопросу. Если я правильно понял этот вопрос, как формируется программа глобального партнерства?
If I understood the second question, if I understood you correctly, how you form the programs for global partnership or global partnership programs? Специфические проекты интересуются, определенные какие-то специфические
да.
проекты.
На мой взгляд, она должна, раз это глобальное партнерство посвящено России, значит, Россия заявляет о том, какие у нее проблемы.
If this partnership, and because this global partnership is devoted to Russia, Russia declares or states what kind of problems it has.
И страны, которые способствуют этому партнерству, определяют, что они могут.
And the countries that aid in this partnership, they declare what they able to do.
Вот я сейчас занимаюсь проблемами модернизации средств физической защиты.
I personally work on upgrades of physical security.
На объектах Министерства обороны Российской Федерации.
And these are the facilities of Russian MOD.
Этими проблемами занимаются в настоящее время только Соединенные Штаты Америки и плюс Германия, о которой я говорил.
Only the United States and Germany that I mentioned before help us with these problems.
Другими вопросами уничтожения химического оружия занимаются несколько стран.
Speaking about chemical weapons, for example, and their elimination, here there are other several countries involved.
Помощью в ликвидации атомных подводных лодок тоже несколько стран.
Nuclear submarines elimination or dismantlement also several countries.
А как происходит выбор вот этих специфических проектов? Ну, наверное, это в первую очередь проблемы политические.
And how we choose those specific projects, I think these are political questions.
Которые предусматривают возможности всех стран, которые участвуют в глобальном партнерстве.
And they, of course, consider the possibilities of all countries that participate in the global partnership.
At the heart of your question has to do with, on one hand, coordination, and on the other hand, taking advantage of a decade's plus of a bilateral experience. And I would say there's not enough of either, but that the activity on both is very varied. And I will highlight Canada on one hand as sort of being the most aggressively seeking to take advantage of not only existing relationships and experience, but also existing mechanisms. And before they, knowing that it would take them a number of years to negotiate basic bilateral agreements with Russia to govern their assistance, they were able to take advantage of existing mechanisms. For example, in the chemical weapons area, a UK-Russian agreement that allowed for third-party participation. In other instances, through the International Science and Technology Center, by acceding to that, and to move out very swiftly to use to the maximum degree possible existing structures to funnel and protect Canadian contributions, while at the same time negotiating bilateral agreements to govern more expansive activities. So I would say Canada's done a great job of sort of learning from others and moving out quickly. There is no basic template. There is no central coordinating mechanism. And I think at a certain level, that's not realistic. What I would like to see more of, however, is at the political level, a clearer collective judgment about priorities from a threat perspective. And the senior officials group is not a coordination mechanism at a pragmatic level. It has its benefits and it has its capabilities, but it does not have a collective shared sense of what are the top priorities from a threat perspective. I mean, there's a very clear communication of Russia's priorities, but I would argue that chemical weapons and submarine destruction are not the top priorities from a perspective of danger and risk in this area, that actually nuclear security, material security is a higher priority. So I think there's not a shared sense of priority, or then coming from that, a shared sense of which nation is best positioned to provide what's needed in terms of assistance. And I would say there's at least one instance in which Russia has actively prevented coordination among donors, and that's in the security upgrades at the Rosatom facilities, where German donors and U.S. donors are forbidden by the Russians to talk to each other about the work that they're doing. That is not a useful way to proceed. So I'd say there's lots of room for movement, but I think some global common mechanism would take longer to negotiate than the G8 Global Partnership will have to exist.
Yes.
Вопрос генералу Маслину.
Ваших.
Слышали ли вы о том, что вот будет происходить сейчас в Санкт-Петербурге встреча Большой Восьмерки? Будут ли новые какие-то участники играть какую-то роль? Будут ли новые обещания делаться? И какие, если вы слышали?
Я знаю, что в Санкт-Петербурге будет саммит Восьмерки.
I know that there will be a G8 summit in St. Petersburg.
Что Россия будет председательствовать на этом саммите.
I know that Russia will chair this summit.
Что одним из основных вопросов, который предусматривается, там рассматривать, это будет энергетическая безопасность.
I know that one of the main issues that will be addressed will be energy security.
Я думаю, что и вопросы атомной энергетики там обязательно будут рассматриваться.
And I'm sure that nuclear energy security will be also addressed.
In general,
not security. Безопасность здесь тогда nuclear. И безопасность нет?
Ядерная энергетика.
Okay, nuclear energy. Спасибо.
I don't have any information on new members joining the global partnership. And I think there's mixed messages coming out of Moscow about the primacy of the global partnership in and of itself. I mean, clearly they've said energy security, of which nuclear energy is a component. They've also mentioned infectious disease. Obviously, biosecurity has a relationship there. So I think there are connections. But the global partnership in and of itself has been of declining attention in the summits. I hope Russia will take advantage of this moment to reverse that decline, but I think it's still not clear.
I mean, there's a senior group of senior G8 officials that meet. I'm sure between now and St. Petersburg, they'll work out some kind of a joint statement that talks about various priorities in fighting proliferation and WMD terrorism. But so far, I have no sense that the G8 are giving these issues, especially nuclear security issues, the attention they deserve. I think this is a real opportunity for Russia, but so far I don't think Russia is giving it the attention on the G8 summit agenda that it really needs to have.
Judith Mandel with Washington Group International. You spoke a great deal about the priority for securing nuclear materials at their sources, but how do you see border security and border controls as perhaps assisting in catching what may not be caught at the facilities themselves? Do you see an increasing need for some attention to this area among the G8 parties, or is this of lesser concern to you? And it's for either Laura or the general.
Could you repeat the question, please? I didn't quite understand it.
Should border security?
Border security. How do you see the importance, or what importance would you assign to border security in preventing proliferation as an added element to securing nuclear materials at their source, preventing terrorist access?
Я считаю, что этот вопрос очень важен, и сейчас в большой степени вот эти, так сказать, пограничные пункты, через которые идут грузы и так далее, очень интенсивно оборудуются новейшими средствами контроля, в первую очередь, за радиоактивными веществами. И здесь существует большое взаимодействие между различными странами. Вот мне недавно пришлось быть в Германии, и как раз на семинаре, где демонстрировались вот эти новые системы по обнаружению не только радиоактивных веществ, но и взрывчатых веществ, что очень важно в настоящее время в плане борьбы с международным терроризмом. И я считаю, здесь вот партнерство стран Большой Восьмерки очень важным.
I think that in this sense, the G8 partnership is very important. The countries of the G8 is very important because speaking about border control, I think that it is very important to have the newest equipment possible installed on this in the border control locations. And we are doing this. We're installing the newest technologies there for detecting radioactive materials. Many countries participate in aiding in that. For example, recently I went to Germany and I attended the seminar where they demonstrated this newest technologies for detection not only of radioactive materials, which is very important, but also explosives, which are very important as well, speaking about possible terrorist threats.
In terms of the priority, I would say the top priority has to be protecting the material where it sets. But obviously you want some kind of defense in depth. The more chances, the more attempts you make to try to see something as it moves, the greater the chances are that you'll actually see it. But I think there's a massive confusion and lack of coordination among just U.S. government programs aimed at this, much less global, international programs. And I think it's really hard to say where the needs are greatest beyond a survey and a complete understanding of what level of effort is currently going on. So it's a great research project for somebody to look into and perhaps use that as a basis to make a judgment about is there low-hanging fruit? Are there some high-leverage investments where small amounts of resources can make a significant difference? But I think you could spend infinite funds improving border security and still not deal with the major part of the problem of preventing the theft in the first place.
Interestingly on that, recently Senators Lugar and Obama came up with an initiative to deal with this question of border security. And, their view was that it's not getting enough attention, and they're calling for additional funding and priority to be given that. Right. We'll take one more question. We're going to break at 11.
Alexander Plov, Tartas News Agency. And if it's final question, I wish to ask you, can you outline maybe some brief recommendations as specialists for the G8 summit about the further development of this global partnership and maybe your ideas about the future of this partnership, some new projects? Can you give some recommendations? So give a brief outline.
У меня единственное предложение. Как я уже говорил, в апреле месяце будет конференция, посвященная как раз предстоящей встрече в Санкт-Петербурге. Она сейчас готовится, эта конференция. Я думаю, что там, как раз в преддверии встречи Большой Восьмерки, наиболее интересно поучаствовать. И вот тогда там, видимо, можно будет услышать и какие-то конкретные предложения. Поэтому рекомендую побывать на этой конференции.
As I already mentioned, there will be a conference taking place in April, and it will take place shortly before St. Petersburg G8 summit. And I think that main goals or some interesting ideas would be outlined at that conference. So my recommendation is to attend this conference.
Thank you all for coming and help me thank General Maslin.